Good morning and greetings to each one in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to each one of you. Special welcome to all of our visitors. Good to see you, Brother Jason. Bless you. I know many of you have come because you have friends, people you know who are being baptized today. That's a joy and a blessing. Thank you for coming. We trust that God will give you an extra blessing to take home. As you're here with us and with him, we trust. Thank you, Brother Yura, for encouraging us in those two things of praying for one another. God, help us to be faithful in that. And encouraging each other, discipling each other. As I pondered Friday and yesterday and through the week what to share this morning, I considered some messages, especially for those of you who will be baptized. And I thought of preaching Keys to Endurance. Yura touched on some of that this morning. Someone suggested I preach about the servant who had his ear bored through. There's many good subjects we could have taken, but late last night I felt very distinctly drawn in a different direction, and so we'll endeavor this morning to do that with God's help, and this is for all of us, those who are being baptized and those who have been baptized many years ago. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And while you turn there, I'm going to read to you two scriptures out of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 18, verses 30 to 32. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions, whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. And then again in Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? Now God asked a question here to the children of Israel many years ago. Why will ye die? They needed to stop and think. Why will ye die? God is still asking that question to sinners today. Right. Why will you die? And sinners today need to stop and think about that. Right. Why? It's because of our sins that we won't let go of. But this morning, God has a different question for you and I. Those of us who've been born again, those of us who are followers of Christ, who are Christians, who are little Christs, God has another question for us. And that question is this: why won't you die? Why won't you die? And in the same way that the children of Israel needed to stop and ponder, we need to stop and consider, why won't we die? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, this morning we come to you in our need. Lord, we come to you asking you to break the bread of life to us. Amen. Father, even as your body was broken for us, the bread from heaven, Lord, even as you took the loaves there at the seaside and broke them and distributed, Father, we pray that you'd break the bread to us this morning. Father, I pray that you would not let this sermon be a bunch of Andrew's words. But Father, I pray you minister life. Amen. Father, I pray that you touch our hearts by your Spirit in an eternal way. Father, help us to understand your truth. Lord, help us to share your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We'll just read the whole chapter for the sake of our context. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. This is one of our texts this morning. We'll be referring to this a lot. And I would also like to look at John chapter 12, Gospel of John chapter 12, and verses 24 to 26. This is Jesus' teaching. In verse 23, Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If a man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there also shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We'll be referring back to these scriptures. Why won't you die? Why won't we die? And so the sermon today will be somewhat in two different parts. This first part, we would look at this death, what it is, and why I would die. And the last part, we look at why we don't die. And then lastly, end with the question, why won't you die? I bring to you this morning a message of weakness. And yet that message of weakness is not incompatible with the greatest strength of the universe. I bring to you this morning a message on lowliness. And yet that lowliness is not incompatible with the highest honor of all ages. I bring to you a message of meekness, and yet the same message is one of great power. I bring to you a message of surrender, of yieldedness, of giving up, and yet the same message is one of standing strong. I bring to you a message of sorrow and mourning. And yet the same message is one of joy and rejoicing and comfort. I bring to you a message this morning about dying, and yet the message is really about eternal life. About life springing up within us. Eternal life in our hearts. You see, the man who was the most whole man to ever walk on the earth was also the most broken. The most powerful man to ever set foot on this planet was the most lowly, the most meek. The most effective man to ever dwell among men refused to do anything by himself in his own strength. The one who was anointed with the oil of gladness above his fellows was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And the man out of whom rivers of eternal life flowed and still flow died the most thorough death that anyone could die to himself. And we know who this man is. This man is Christ Jesus. As he became weak, so we must become weak. As he pleased not himself, so we dare not please ourselves. As he became nothing, a worm, so we must become nothing. As he was broken for us, so must we be broken for others. As he took up his cross, so must we take up ours. And as he died, so we must die. God help us. Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, as we think of dying, I think our view is way too narrow too many times. When we think of the cross, taking up the cross, denying ourselves, too many times we think of sin. That's right. We must die to sin. There's no other way to become alive in Christ but to die to sin. We have to do those things to live in Christ. And we must still be dead to sin and still be dying to sin. But if we stop there, we fall far short of the dying that Paul spoke of and that Jesus spoke of. It's part of it, but it's far short. Paul spoke of a dying that's always born about in his body. So what is this dying that we're talking about this morning? What is it? It is not only dying to sin, but it is also dying to myself. It is dying to the things in Andrew that I would not have deemed sinful. It is dying to Andrew's own strengths and accomplishments, and Timothy's and Paul's. My rights, my just dues. If anyone ever had the right to be treated fairly, it was Jesus. He gave that right up. He died the death of the cross. So must you and I. give up that right. If anyone ever had the right to blame and condemn and complain and murmur, it was Jesus. The one who loved more than anyone ever loved, and yet was worse treated than anyone's been treated. He refused to sin in that way. He died to that. So must we. If anyone ever had the right to try to manipulate and control situations that were unjust, that were not right, it was Jesus. Plus, he had the power to do so. But he died to that. And he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That was Jesus. What is this dying? It is that. It is that dying that Jesus did. It is taking up the cross as he took it. Not just denying ourselves sin, as we often think of sin. I've read this over this pulpit before, but I will read it again. What is this dying we're talking about? Here's a good way to know. I love this writing. Don't know who wrote it, but I've read it since I was a child. When you are forgotten, neglected, or purposely set at naught, and you do not sting or hurt at the oversight, but your heart is happy, being counted worthy to suffer for Christ, that is dying to self. There's a lot of deep things here, brothers and sisters. When your good is evil spoken of, your wishes are crossed, your advice disregarded, your opinions ridiculed, and you refuse to let anger rise in your heart or even defend yourself, but take it all in patient, loving silence, that is dying to self. When you lovingly and patiently bear any disorder, any irregularity, any annoyance, when you can stand face to face with waste, folly, extravagance, or spiritual insensitivity and endure it as Jesus endured it, that is dying to self. When you are content with any offering, any raiment, any climate, any society, any solitude, any interruption by the will of God, that is dying to self. When you never care to refer to yourself in conversation, or to record your own good works, or itch after commendation, when you can truly love to be unknown, that is dying to self. When you can see your brother prosper and have his needs met, and can honestly rejoice with him in spirit, and feel no envy nor question God, while your own needs are far greater, and you're in desperate circumstances, that is dying to self. When you can take correction or reproof from one of less stature than yourself, and can humbly submit inwardly as well as outwardly, finding no rebellion or resentment rising up within your heart, that is dying to self. When you can take correction or reproof from one of less stature than yourself, God help us. I dare say that the one who wrote those words had done a lot of dying. Those are deep things. Those are heart things. Those are not things on the outside. Those are things of the inside. And by those we can know where we're at in this bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, in this being broken like Jesus was for others. God help us. Why would we die? Before we get to the question of why we don't die, why won't we die, why would we? Dying is painful. Dying is difficult. Dying is not pleasant. Why would we die? because that God has ordained that through death comes life. God has ordained and put in place a spiritual principle that only through death comes life. Jesus demonstrated it. The Apostle Paul demonstrated it. And God wants you and I to demonstrate it. Why would we die? Because God has ordained it. God has called us to that death. Jesus has called us to that death. Only through learning how to walk in this kind of dying, in this kind of breaking, in this kind of continual bearing about the dying of the Lord Jesus, will the life of Jesus spring forth in our hearts and life. Why would we die? Because we want the life of Christ to be a part of our lives. Because we want abundant life springing up within us. We want peace and joy and rest and the things that come with abundant life. Why would we die? Because we want to be useful to the Lord. He did so very much for me. What can I do for Him? Not to pay Him back, but a response of gratefulness. Why would we die? Because only with death comes usefulness. Jesus demonstrated that for us. Moses spent 40 years demonstrating that for us. Moses was capable. Moses knew how to do it. But when Moses tried to do it without having died, he hurt himself and he hurt the people he was trying to help and he hurt the glory of God. And so do we. Brothers and sisters, so do we. If we're not willing to die. Jesus died to accomplish His ministry of life. If we would be useful to God and useful to others, we must die and keep dying. We must break and keep breaking. We must yield and keep yielding. We must cry and keep crying. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. That treasure was never meant to be kept tight inside an earthen vessel. The vessel must break, the vessel must shatter, and the treasure must be seen. The treasure must come out, the treasure of the life of Christ. And I'm not talking just about sins. I'm talking about Andrew's nature. Andrew's characteristics must be changed, must be broken. God must deal with those things in me, and we will look at some of those things more later. Here's Paul, 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. Would to God that He would open our eyes how much our self gets in the way of ministering life. How much our own wisdom, our own thinking, gets in the way of us affecting change, true heart change in others, that the life of God can only affect. Would to God we could see that. We'd be more earnest to take up our cross. We would be more earnest to die, to break. Jesus talked of the corn of wheat. Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth fruits. And so it is with you and I. If we would bring forth fruit for our Lord Jesus, we must die. We must fall. The shell must be broken and the germ must spring out. The pitcher The vessel must be shattered. It's like shattering that vessel. And Paul spoke of glorying in that weakness, glorying that shattering, glorying in that death. Because when I am weak, then he is strong. When I no longer know, then God knows. When I no longer can, then God can. Paul knew that. Listen, when we see strength, it is either God's strength or our own. When we see power, it is either God's power or our own. Too often we glory in our own strength. And too often we call it glory in God's strength. But it's Andrew. God help us. If we have never become weak, then the excellency of the power, over the overarching of the power, is still of us and not of God. If we have not borne about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, it's still of us. It's still the old man. It's the 40-year-old Moses. And it doesn't come out. Paul spoke a lot in Corinthians about this. 1 Corinthians 1:25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught, things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. We must make sure that our glorying the Lord is not glorying ourselves. And God alone can help us to see that. Why would we die? The songwriter put it this way. O cross that liftest up my head, I dare not ask to fly from thee. I lay in dust life's glory dead. And from the ground there blossoms red life that shall endless be. Why die? Because out of death springs life. That's why we would die. Because in death comes usefulness. That's why we would die. Because in our death God is glorified. And Jesus receives the reward of his suffering. That's why we would die. Why don't we die? Why do we fight? Why, instead of bowing our heads and saying, Thy will be done, do we struggle, do we wrestle with the things in our lives? Why don't we die? It's not for lack of opportunity. Brothers and sisters, it's not because we don't have opportunity to die this death. To daily bear about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus is not because we don't have opportunity to be broken and poured out by God for others. It is not because we don't have opportunity. Again, the songwriter said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. It's not for lack of opportunity that we don't die. The reason we don't like to die is because death does not feel good. Death is not pleasant. The means to this dying is miserable for us. That's why we don't die. The reason we don't die is the means to this death is called the cross. The way to this brokenness is the chastisement of the Lord who faithfully, Hebrews says, chastises everyone who is a child of his. Not one is left without that. So we all have the opportunity to die. We all have the opportunity to yield, to break. The cross of Christ, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Why don't we die? It's because we don't recognize the cross when it comes. And when we do recognize the cross, we run from it instead of picking it up. Sometimes, God help us, there's many of us here who'd take up the cross. Thank God for that. The reason we're afraid to die is because we're afraid of being damaged if we lay down the fight. If we quit trying to shore ourselves up, we're afraid God will damage us. No, we wouldn't say it that way. But deep down, we're afraid God might damage us. God will never damage us. God will hurt us. God will bring pain into our lives. God will bring us opportunity to die the death of the cross. But God will never damage us. We can only be damaged as we fight. We can only be damaged as we run away. That's when we get damaged. That's when we get hurt. Why don't we die? We love ourselves. We love our position. We love our reputation. We love the spot we have. But Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That's more than denying Christ so you're not killed. That's a principle of the Christian life. When Andrew is willing to die, I will find life eternal. I will find life springing up within me. Only as much as I'm willing to die to myself. The means to this death. I said, too often we don't recognize the cross. Too often we don't recognize the means through which God is trying to help us, God is wanting to help us to die this death, to find this brokenness, to find this Christ-likeness in our hearts. And we run from it, or we fight it. We don't see it as the hand of God, no. And I don't have time for this, but we're going to do it just quickly. Some of you have seen this circle. I'm going to draw a circle here, and we'll write here, things in my power to change. And that, of course, is with God, not in our own strength. And so some of us go through life with this very unclear, and it hinders us all through our lives. But let's put some things in here that fit in this place. Call them out. Attitudes. Absolutely. Do you know that many people... All right, we should finish this description. These are things outside my control. But as a believer, if you are a believer in the Word of God, you believe that everything out here is under the control of a sovereign God and comes to you only by His divine orchestration or His divine permission. If you are a believer, you believe that. And so we forget to add this, but it must be here. But in God's sovereign control. But we'll just leave it there. We don't have time. So many people go through life and they have put attitudes out here. Nothing will ever happen. Nothing will ever change. As long as attitudes are out here. God will help you by the renewing of your mind do that inside this circle. But only as you're willing to put it there. Other things. ideas, yes, you can change your ideas, your thoughts. With attitude could come things like thankfulness. Most people think thankfulness is a direct relation to things outside this circle. Too many people think that is absolutely not the case. Scripture shows you that over and over again. We need to leave that lie alone. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. So we have things that are in our power. Walking by faith. That's up to us to do with God. Loving people, prayer, on and on. Lots of things that we have right here in our control to work on. Of course, me. Living in the moment. What we do with our free time. Taking our thoughts captive. Those things are inside that box. Inside that circle. Things in our power. And then we have a lot of things out here. Someone start naming some of those. Circumstances. Others. Some more. Calamities, deaths, accidents, yes. Others' choices, and how others relate to me. Now, we need to acknowledge that sometimes what we do in here affects this out here. It really does. Others' opinion of me. It's out here. But this really can affect that as we work in here. But too often, what we end up doing is we try to work out here on that. Useless. Completely useless. A complete waste of energy. Energy that could have been spent right here is completely wasted, thwarting God's purposes in your life. When we do that. Every time we do that. And this could go on and on. False accusations. Sorry, we're in a hurry here. Difficulty with children or difficulty in the marriage. Again, some of these things are directly affected by the circle. And they certainly are. But some of those things happen and we can't do anything about it. The weather, the past, our past failures. All right, now here this is where this ties in. Oh, one more thing, sidetrack. Where should schedule go on here? Someone said inside, and others think outside, and some think half and half. I would like to say that there's youth here whose schedule is not their own. All right? It puts it out here. And we'll see what all this out here is about shortly. We'll look at what all this out here is about. There are mothers here whom it would probably be right to put the schedule out here. You know, babies, they just don't come inside the box so well sometimes. But I'd like to say that for most of us, heads of household, while we too often put schedule out here, I would like to say for most of us, it's solidly in here. Solidly in the circle. And we get to decide. You know, we feel captive to our choices. But how about we make some more choices? Always a chance to make some more choices. So that was a side trail. Now, where does this tie in? The means to helping us die this death, the cross that Jesus asks us to take up and stop fighting and stop resisting and stop running from and try to stop and stop trying to manipulate is these things out here. These are the very tools by which God breaks the earthen vessel, by which the alabaster box is finally broken, where the sweet perfume can come out. Oh, but we say that's not God. That's other people. That's others' mistakes. Those things out there are wrong. Put church trouble out here. Put sleepless nights out here. Put being thrown in a pit out there and sold to Egypt. Put being stuck where you don't want to be out there. And brothers and sisters, this is the means to a death that works life. If we will lay down the fight, if we will lay down the manipulation, if we will lay down the murmuring and receive it as from the hand of God and let it hurt and bow our heads and say, yes, Lord. Until we identify this correctly, until we embrace and see this as from the hand of God, we'll continue to fight, flounder, and sink. We'll continue to become less Christ-like, not more Christ-like. We'll continue to do damage instead of work healing. Adam, let your creator deal with Eve. You seek for repentance. Asaph, let God deal with the unbelievers. You go back to trusting instead of fighting, manipulating, blaming. You know, when we blame out here, you cannot see that as from God's hand and blame. And David, you let God deal with Saul. See, in David's life, Saul was out here. Some of us have a Saul out here. David knew how to die. David knew how to let God deal with Saul. God, help us. Why won't you die? Are you weak, broken, contrite, Scripture says, poor in spirit, and dead and dying? Are you taking up your cross daily? How would you know? How would you know? Or do you still have some shell that needs to fall on the ground and die? Is your earthen vessel so intact, so tight, that nobody can contact the treasure within? They touch man's wisdom. They touch man's opinions. They touch man's emotions, but they don't touch Christ. Are you avoiding the cross? Are you misidentifying it? Are you missing it? Do you blame others? That's how you can know. If I still see that it's this man or that man or this person that did it, that's how I can know. Do I blame others instead of receiving it from God as Joseph did when his brothers actually sinned against him? Do you criticize others a lot? Focus a lot on others' needs? Do you get hurt easily? These are all marks of not bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, the quest to become dead to live. Do you become offended easily, defensive? Do you tend to make excuses? Is there a little bit of competition or envy in your heart? Are you frustrated a lot? These are all marks of not bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. taking up the cross cheerfully, willingly, and as from the hand of God. How long will you fight? How long will you wander about in despair and gloom and discouragement? When would you just fall to the ground and die? Would you be willing to do that? What all more is God going to have to bring into your life till he gets that accomplished? Because God is merciful enough. Listen, God is merciful enough not to give up on you or I. When will you just give up? Not giving up the fight, not giving up as in turning back, but giving up the fight against others, the fight against circumstances, the fight against things you cannot change, and listen, that all boils down to the fight against God. When will you give up the fight against God? The cross that he's bringing up into your life. When will you let go and let God have his way? And brothers and sisters, this is not one time. I look back to seasons of my life, especially one season where this was very dear and near to my heart. And I was able, by the grace of God, to receive all those things that came to me. I say all, it seemed like all. And look inward and say, God, do it. Amen. Whatever it is, just do it. And I look at my life in recent times, and it's the little things, and I'm starting to fight. I'm starting to resent. I'm starting to get frustrated. That's not the mark of a man who's bearing about the body in his body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Frustration is never a mark of that man. It's not once and for all. It's a way of life. But anytime we're fighting, anytime we find ourselves there, there's a dying to do. And that's what we're talking about this morning, whether you've had it or not. What do I need to die to? Why try to be Moses, but avoid the wilderness? All you ever be is the 40-year-old Moses who messes things up for God and for others. Why try to be like Jesus, but avoid the cross? You and I both know it'll never work. And yet, we have a hard time, don't we? 1 Peter puts it this way, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And he will lift you up. Bow yourselves to those things. You're a punctual man. Your wife and children weren't ready on time. And they should have been. And they should have been. You're struggling inside. If you're honest with yourself, you know the struggle is not pure. The struggle is not out of pure love for them, pure concern for them and for the Lord Jesus. No. There's a struggle inside because Andrew is not dead. Because Andrew is not dying in his body the death of the Lord Jesus. You can fight. You can be frustrated. You can blame and condemn. You can complain. Or you could die. Or you could die and live. Why won't you die? Death would bring life there. Yes, death would enable you to minister life to your wife and children. Yes. And death would bring life to your own heart. Yes. Why won't you die? You're a youth in a home. Your parents have some serious flaws. Your parents have some serious problems. You can fight. You can resent. You can become sullen and hurt and reclusive. You can try with all that is in you to change your parents. Or you could die. Or you could die. You could let God make you a little more like Jesus. Make you a little more like David. You could let God do that. Why won't you die? Why don't we die? You're in a struggling church situation. There's slander, there's gossip, there's division, there's false accusations. You can lose sleep. Struggling with the injustice of all of it. You can wear yourself out straightening out the rumors that are so false. Defending yourself, defending those you love, setting the record straight. You can respond in the same way and start speaking ill of others, and you will when you fight. Or you could die. You could just lay down and die. Let God set the record straight. Jesus did. Rest in God. And out of that death, you would have life to minister to both those that are for you and those that are against you. True life out of that death. And on top of that, come forth a little more like pure gold. Amen. Why won't you die? You've fallen into sin. Never God's will for us to fall into sin. We know that. But it is God's will for that sin to break us, for that sin to work a deeper death in our hearts after it's done. You can fight. You can try to cover. You can try to hide. You can try to make excuses. Or you can die. Let life flow. Let healing come. Why don't we die? Maybe there's an ongoing concern in the church. No one else seems to notice. No one else seems to care. You can wrestle. You can fight. You can struggle. You can become separated in your heart. And you can go about trying to change it in your own way. Or you can die. It's safe to die. Because when we die, God is alive. When we are weak, then He is strong. Why don't we die? You're dealing with a serious loss in your life. Loss of a friend. Death of a loved one. Loss of a child to the world. You can fight. You can fight. You can cry bitter tears. You can be convinced that God betrayed you, that God didn't keep His end of the deal. You can doubt His goodness, and these things are ever so tempting to us. Or you can die and let the bitter tears become sweet tears, because it still hurts. Trust God anyway. When you're dead, you can do that. When you're dying with Jesus, you have no problem doing that. Bow your head and cry sweet tears. God, you are good. Help me in this pain. Let me come forth as gold. Why don't we die? It's a peaceful place. Dead with Christ, so we can live with Him. You have a good plan for moving forward with a business project. Then the weather changes, the equipment breaks down, and all of a sudden what looked like it was going to be a pleasant, profitable week turns into a chaotic one, costly week. You can fight. You can stress. You can get frustrated. You can murmur and curse under your breath. Not if you're a believer, you can't. Or you can die. You can just die. Let God. God's doing something. God wants to break the picture. God wants you to be weak. Why don't we die? You've faithfully served and another gets chosen to fill the spot. Ordination's coming up. Another gets chosen to fill the spot. You can hurt and become envious or discouraged. You can see it as proof that someone is not discerning the will of God. You can do a lot of things, or you can die. Or you can become nothing like the Lord Jesus became nothing, who made himself of no reputation. We looked at that. A lowly place is a good place, a restful place. Why don't you die? A decision has been made and you see it as wrong. Your advice has not been taken. You can't help but take it personal. You can't help but see the great lack of wisdom displayed. You can withdraw. You can fight. You can lose trust. You can criticize. Or you can die. Yield it to Almighty God and die. He's capable of taking care of those things. Let God deal with it, not Andrew. Let Andrew go to 40 years in the wilderness. And if God needs Andrew to deal with something, the broken and dying Andrew that is there will be able to do it in God's strength rather than in Andrew's. And furthermore, he will not think he can. Why don't I die? You see, to the extent we yield, God will work and God will sanctify. God will break. God will change. To the extent we yield to his almighty hand, God's almighty hand, to the extent we stop fighting and yield, God will work and God will change us. I mentioned only a few things, some big, some small. But life is full of them, some bigger and some smaller. And with every single one of them, God's purpose is for us to learn how to die, to become like Jesus, the old Andrew to disappear, and a Christ-like one to come forth. You know, there are no shortcuts. Scripture gives us no other way for the life of Christ to become manifest in this mortal flesh and to become accessible and effective in other people's lives than the way of the cross. It's the only way. The way of brokenness, the way of death. And until you and I learn to bear about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus and to walk in this brokenness, and this humility, and this yieldedness, and this death. Listen, the glory of God will suffer. We will suffer. And those we love the most will suffer. We can do everything else right, brothers and sisters. We can get it so very right. But without this dying with the Lord Jesus, it will be wrong. We can get it right with our children. They'll grow up and react against us and maybe against God. We can do everything else right and not have this in our life, and our spouse will be torn down instead of built up. We can do everything else right, but listen, people will see Andrew and not Christ. People who know, people who are discerning, will see Andrew, not Christ. We can mean to help, but we will often hurt, damage. We can try to heal, but we will damage. We must walk in this death of the Lord Jesus so that life of Jesus may flow out of us. But when we try to preserve our lives, then it's death that works in us. Jesus said it. It is that simple. God help us. Remember that Jesus' mission was not effective unless he was broken and poured out. Those few small loaves and fishes were just enough for that little boy until Jesus took them and broke them. The perfume in that alabaster box could not be enjoyed till it was shattered. And the treasure in the earthen vessel needs the vessel to become broken. We have that priceless treasure in our earthen vessel. That is these hands and feet, this tongue, this clumsy tongue, these eyes and these ears and everything here. That is also contained inside a soul. That is a mind, a will, and emotions. And all of that must be broken by the Spirit of God for life to flow out. Pure life, untainted with Andrew. God help us. And that is God's purpose, and it's a beautiful purpose. And if we could get a hold of that and keep a hold of that, we would embrace the cross. We would take up our cross. And we would lay down the fight. We'd be willing to die. People need to encounter Jesus in you and I, not us. And as I have prepared, I just feel like I need to just tell you as a congregation here, I feel that over the last years, there's been too much of Andrew. And too many times, maybe I could have helped if Andrew had been weaker and Christ stronger. If the vessel had been broken, if I had been more dead. And I want to learn how to die that way so that I can minister life. We must abandon our confidence in the flesh. We must abandon that ability to kill the Egyptian and bury him, and in so doing, hurt the glory of God and hurt our people. We must abandon our aversion to the desert, our aversion to the cross, our aversion to adverse circumstances that come from the hand of God, that God brings into our lives and allows into our lives to break us. Peter got to where he couldn't be an apostle, so he went fishing. He couldn't even fish anymore. And then he encountered Jesus in a new way. Peter needed to become nothing. Broken men and women cannot look down on others. They cannot do that. They cannot look down on the sinner, the backslider, or the worldling. Broken men and women cannot do that. Let's lay down the fight. Let's stop blaming others. We're fighting no one but God. No one but God. Let's let God have his way with us. Bow our heads. Bow our hearts. The consecrated cross I'll bear. This is the second verse of that song. Till death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear, for there's a crown for me. See, the cross brings a crown. Amen. Death brings life. God is never reckless. God has never once damaged one person. We get damaged when we fight. We get damaged when we flee. We don't get damaged when we die, ever. In light of all that, why don't we die? Why won't you die? Why won't I die? I want to end with a writing that I've loved over the last 15 years. I think one of my sisters gave it to me back in the time. It is what it is. It springs from someone's heart. There's no doctrine to be taken from this. I want you to just listen to these words. It's not perfect. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man, when God wants to mold a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world shall praise, watch his methods, watch his ways. How he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into frailest shapes of clay that only God can understand. How his tortured heart is crying and he lifts beseeching hands. How he bends and slowly breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses, with every purpose fuses him, by every art induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. When God wants to take a man and shake a man and wake a man, when God wants to make a man to do the Father's will, when he yearns with all his soul to create him large and whole, with what cunning he prepares him, how he goads and never spares him, how he whets him, how he frets him, and in poverty begets him, and how oft he disappoints whom he sacredly anoints. With what wisdom he will hide him, never minding what betide him, makes him lonely so that only God's high messages shall reach him, so that he may surely teach him what his heavenly Father planned. When God wants to name a man and tame a man to do his heavenly best, when he tries the highest test that his reckoning may bring, how he reins him and restrains him so his body scarce contains him, when he fires him and inspires him, keeps him yearning, ever burning for the tantalizing goal, lures and lacerates his soul, sets a challenge for his spirit, draws it highest, then he's near it, makes a jungle, then he clears it, makes a desert that he fears it, if he can, so does God to make a man. Then to test his spirit's wrath, he throws a mountain in his path, puts a bitter choice before him, and relentlessly stands o'er him. Climb or perish, so he says, but watch his purpose, watch his ways. For God's plan is oh so kind, could we understand his mind? Fools are they who call God blind. When his feet are torn and bleeding, yet his spirit mounts unheeding, blazing newer paths and finds. Lo the crisis, lo the shouts that would call the leader out. When the people need salvation, does he rise to lead the nation? Then finally does God show his plan, and the world has found its man. Death is the way to life, brothers and sisters. The desert is the way to usefulness. Right. Neediness is the way to wholeness. Let's die with Christ.